The title of this evening's message is Diligence Leads to Deliverance. Diligence leads to deliverance. And what is to be understood by deliverance is God's protection. God's protection. We'll look at that some more. Now, in a nutshell, we are in Proverbs chapter 2. And in a nutshell, we can extract this big idea from the text. Those who diligently pursue after godly wisdom in order to walk in it will be delivered or protected from harmfulness that comes from evil. And so now let's pray and then let's read through the whole chapter together and then we'll get into it. We'll break it apart. Father, we thank you so much for your word. It's so awesome. You are awesome. There's no greater joy than walking with you and knowing you. And there's no greater joy than being influenced by your Holy Spirit, being impacted, our thoughts impacted by your word. And your spirit begins to just unpack your word to our hearts and our minds and provokes thoughts and brings conviction and causes us to start to evaluate our lives in light of what we're learning and gives us inspiration and helps us to be able to take the things that we learn and put them into practice so that our lives better reflect you. We thank you so much for your word and the ministry of your Holy Spirit. And even simply as we read your word, God, I ask that you would speak to us in a powerful way. In Jesus' name, amen. We're looking at verse 1, chapter 2. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you. To deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their paths. To deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house leads down to death and her paths to the dead. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. So you may walk in the way of goodness and keep to the paths of righteousness. For the upright will dwell in the land and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the earth. And the unfaithful will be uprooted from it. The chapter starts with Solomon addressing his son. We could take it as God speaking to us. He talks about the importance of receiving the Word, His words. He talks about treasuring them within us. He gives some descriptive words that I want to just isolate. There are several. And perhaps you might want to jot these down or just think about, if you're not a note taker, what is being said and how you're doing with the Word of God. What your attitude is towards the Word of God. How are you treasuring it? What value does it have within you, within your thoughts, within your affections? So the words are, number one, receive. He says receive. You have to accept it. The Word of God needs to be accepted, needs to be received. And we're going to be looking at this as the idea of wisdom. Wisdom needs to be received, needs to be accepted. And then the second thing is treasured. It needs to be valued. God's Word needs to be held in high regard and esteemed. It needs to be thought of as very, very valuable. How valuable do you really think God's Word is? You know, when I go through the Scriptures, I can't help but ask myself these same questions. Some of us may say, oh, I value the Word of God. Well, is that true? How is it that you value the Word of God? How is it that you're hiding it within you? How do you spend time reading the Word of God? Is it frequently? Is it infrequent? You know, it's been said that 7 days without reading your Bible makes 1 week. W-E-A-K. We need that food, that soul food, if you would. And if you don't really have a value on the Word of God, then there's a guarantee that you're not spending too much time in it. And that tells you how much you value the Word of God, that you don't esteem it all that much. What are things that you do value? How much time do you spend with the things that you do value? What's important to you? These are thoughts that come to my mind as I read, and I throw the same thoughts out there for you to entertain. The next word is incline. The next word is apply. And then cry out, lift up these ideas that he puts in to these verses, and then seek and search. In other words, wisdom that comes from God, that ultimately leads to our deliverance from evil, needs to be accepted, it needs to be valued, it needs to be heard, it needs to be practiced, it needs to be requested, it needs to be pursued. Now, think about some of these things. He says, my son, verse 1, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you so that you incline your ear. He uses body parts and verbs, actions, because he wants to paint a picture. Like you're inclining your ear, you're listening. And applying your heart, applying it to your heart, applying your heart to gain understanding. And then he says, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice, you're crying out with your mouth, you're using your voice. It's like, God, I'm here to hear. I'm here to listen. I'm inclining, or I need to hear you, God. I want to hear your voice. Here's my heart. Speak to my heart. I value what you have to say, and I want to hide it in my heart. I want to keep it in my heart. I cry out for discernment. I lift up my voice to you. Lord, help me. Lord, give me more. It's not enough. I've grown, but it's not enough. I want more of you. I want more of your wisdom. I need more of you, God. And then he says, if you seek for her as silver, and the her, we know in chapter 1, Solomon personified wisdom as female gender. Her, wisdom, if you seek her, wisdom, the wisdom that comes from God, and search for her as for hidden treasure. Think about it, silver, hidden treasure. These things are valuable, aren't they, on the earth? They're valuable. Think of what people do for the things that they value, for money, for riches. The things that people sacrifice. They'll sacrifice family. They'll sacrifice their relationship with God. They'll sacrifice so many different things, morals, for money. And God desires that we would have the same passion. And here Solomon, he equates it. He starts to put in things that are very valuable in the mind. He says, pursue. In other words, it's the idea of being diligent. Diligence. It takes diligence and effort and discipline to really experience a growing relationship with God. You know, for some folks, I don't know what it is, but they have an idea in their mind that you just believe in Christ, you're born again, and that's it. And you just kind of live your life primarily for yourself. I don't know where you find that in the Scriptures. When Jesus called people, he called them to deny self, die to self, follow him. There's a lot of Scriptures that talk about the importance of diligence and discipline. And I wonder why many Christians complain about their relationship with God or their Christian experience, or they feel like they're empty inside. They believe, they've made a commitment to Christ, but there's really not, they're not fulfilled. They're not experiencing God in their everyday life. And it's because some folks just don't search for God, don't really seek him with their whole hearts. You know, sit down for 5 minutes, go through a devotion more academically or more mechanically, and not really wait on the Lord to connect with God, to experience God's Spirit. But man, you guys know, when you sit at the Lord's feet and you connect with the Lord and he begins to influence your spirit and your soul, those are the moments that you are alive. You feel connected with the Lord. You see everything very different. And think about the times when you don't know what to do. And so you wait on the Lord. And then by seeking the Lord and waiting on the Lord, he speaks to your heart and he gives you that direction. And then you walk in it. No matter how hard it is, or no matter or how you feel about it, you know God spoke to you and you have a peace in moving forward. And so you move forward, and then the blessings that follow. And it doesn't mean your bank account's going to grow. It doesn't mean that you're going to walk and when it's raining on everybody else, it's going to sun, you know, the sun's going to shine on you. We know it does. It's you have a peace and God works things out. Somehow, you just know. You're settled in your spirit. You're not scared. You're not worried. Although, sometimes we struggle. We do. It's human. But when God speaks to us, he elevates us and he causes us to rise above the storms of life and to be able to just be at peace. Sometimes It's just for a few minutes. And then it's like Peter, Lord, help! But he always comes through. And sometimes this is how our prayers are. Oh, praise God, I sought the Lord and He met me where I was at. 10 minutes later, Lord, help! Lord, help! That's great. That's a great place to be. Now, why don't people accept godly instruction? I laughed, but because when I was studying, I thought, yeah, that makes sense. I don't know if there's any nice way of saying it, but some people don't accept godly instruction because of stupidity. And before you get up and leave, look at Proverbs chapter 12, verse 1. Because accepting the Word of God and the ways of God is the first step in the process. If I won't accept it, then I'm not going to value it. I won't listen to it. I won't practice it. I won't ask for it. And I won't pursue it. So it's so important to understand why people don't. And make sure I'm not, for example, being stupid. Now, let me tell you, I've been stupid many times. According to verse 1 of chapter 12, I've done this. Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge. But he who hates correction is stupid. I laughed too. There was times when I hated correction. So one of the reasons why people are dumb is because, and they don't accept God's word, is because they won't accept correction. Don't tell me what to do. Who are you to tell me what to do? Who do you think you are? And unfortunately, that's a society that we live in today. We are very independent people. We're independent thinkers, and we tolerate a lot. We were brought up, you know, some generations to tolerate political correctness. And just to tell somebody, hey, you know what? That action, the way you're going, I could see you, a lot of potential problems. Who do you think you are? Tell me. It's none of your business. Mind your own business. Why, I care about you. Well, stop caring about me then. I'm a grown person. I don't need that's help. And what he says is people like that are stupid. So one reason is because people hate correction. Another reason why people won't accept godly wisdom, instruction, understanding, it can all kind of be interchangeable as we're studying through Proverbs, is because people are led by their feelings rather than by principle and what's right. Look at Proverbs chapter 28, verse 26. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool. But whoever walks wisely will be delivered. Again, I'll read, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool, Proverbs 28, verse 26. But whoever walks wisely will be delivered. People trust in themselves, trust in their own hearts. They're led by their feelings. They're led by their emotions. You ever hear people say, you know, I just go by how I feel. That is the worst way to live your life. Because feelings are deceptive. Feelings can lead us into a path that seems right, but the end is destruction. Let me ask you, let's go back. Let's go back to some of those bad relationships we've had. And people warned you, that guy is no good, he will. And you're like, oh, but I love him. But I feel I can't live without him. Mama, mother, don't tell me what to do, mother. 6 months later, oh, Mom! Dad! And that's the guys. She broke my heart. She's a man eater. So people hate correction. People are led by their own heart, their own feelings, and people are stubborn. Some people are stubborn. The worst type of personality is the one who contains all these three, and usually there are people that contain them all. There's a lot of folks like that. I used to be that way. Look at Psalm 81, verse 11 and 12. This is God speaking. God speaking concerning His children Israel and how He delivered them, and He told them, listen, I don't want you, now that I've delivered you out of Egypt, I don't want you following after other gods and false gods. They will lead you astray. But in verse 11, He says, but my people would not heed my voice. They won't listen to me. And Israel would not have none of me. So I gave them over to their own stubborn heart to walk in their own counsels. So that's why some people don't receive or accept godly wisdom instruction, because they don't want to be corrected. They hate getting corrected. They are led by their own hearts, their own feelings, instead of principle and what's right. And they're stubborn. They're not willing to change their views and their position on things. Once they're settled in the way they think and what they feel, no one or nothing's going to change their mind. Well, they just get hard that way. Now, many of us perhaps can relate in times past being this way, especially in our younger years, as He says, my son. And we understand this could be interchangeable, son, daughter. But when a person realizes that they're being stupid or led by their heart or stubborn, and they conclude that this approach has not gotten them anywhere, then they're more likely to be receptive to instruction or correction. And there's, looking back several years ago, and on occasion I could still be stubborn or stupid or led by my feelings, but then the Word of God comes and rescues me, delivers me from the evil within. Because we know that the heart of man is deceitful above all things and wicked. Who can understand it? Only God really knows. And the Word of God that comes in is like light and exposes that darkness, and it causes us to understand it. These feelings are wrong. These thoughts are wrong, and for me not to take correction, I need to be corrected, and etc. But going back, there's a time in my life when I was thinking, you know, I've been doing things my own way, and it hasn't been working out. I keep doing the same stupid things and getting the same stupid results. Some have said that insanity is doing the same things, expecting different results. That's insanity. And I'm sure perhaps, well, some of us, I'm sure, we've been at those places where we start to evaluate and say, you know what, these habits, these practices, this way of thinking, this way of responding has gotten me nowhere. Every time I respond this way, it results in this, and then it's worse. So we say, you know what? It's time for me to change. It's time for me to grow up. You know, we talk about diligence. I think the scriptures have a lot to say about diligence. And diligence, as I said in our title, leads to deliverance. And we're going to see that become more and more prevalent as we continue through our study. But Paul talked about diligence in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. He told Timothy, just like Solomon is saying, be diligent about pursuing wisdom, godly wisdom. Why? Because by doing so, you experience God. Why? Because then you will understand the fear of the Lord. You will understand what it means to really reverence God and to experience God by finding out the knowledge of who God is and how He is there in every situation. So he tells him in 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. A worker who does not need to be ashamed. There's no reason for any of us to be ashamed or not in the know, not as children of God, because He's given us His Word. But we have to be diligent and pursue the things of God and to present ourselves approved to God. And he says, by rightly dividing the word of truth, being people of the Word, reading the Word, listening to the Word, valuing the Word, practicing the Word, asking for more revelation of the Word, and pursuing it more and more. 2 Peter 1:10, Peter says a similar thing concerning diligence. He says, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. He says, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. You will never stumble. You'll never fall away from the faith. You'll never get out of track. You'll never become like a Judas or a Demas. Never. That's why sometimes, you know, in my younger years, I would say, oh God, I hope that I never, or I know I have the potential, so I won't, you know, I won't say anything because I don't want to sound prideful. And there's truth to that. But there comes a point where you start to think, you know what? The scripture says that if I'm diligent and I pursue the Lord and I have no other ambitions or goals in life other than to seek Jesus and to please Jesus and to live for Jesus, and as long as I stay close to Jesus, following Jesus, loving what Jesus loves, loving His Word, loving His people, loving, and just keep doing, the Word says you will never stumble. I have to believe that and pursue that. But it comes with diligence. Now you might think, well, I stumble here and there. Well, yeah, don't we all? I'm not talking about that. Again, I'm talking about going astray, because we're going to get to a couple things that lead people astray, and that's why he's telling his son, be diligent to pursue godliness and wisdom, because there are threats out there. But diligence leads to deliverance. It will protect you. Being diligent, pursuing God, will protect you from the evils that are out there. And we're going to see two of them. Now, we have to understand that wisdom comes from the Lord. We understand this. He tells us back in Proverbs chapter 2, for the Lord gives wisdom. He gives it. But He gives it to those who pursue Him and pursue it. Let me ask you, if anybody were to come to you and ask you for something, and you knew the character of that individual, that they were wasteful, that they really didn't care about other people, they were inconsiderate, and they just use people, and you can pretty much expect that if you give them whatever it is that they're asking for, they're just going to use you, take it, and waste it. Would you give it to them? No, neither would I. And I wouldn't feel bad at all. I'd feel bad if I gave it to him. Maybe once, when you want to help somebody out and then they take what you've given them and they misuse it or waste it. And you think to yourself, you know what? Because Christ loves you, I love you too. But I'm not going to help you out anymore. You may never say that, but you're not going to do it. But people who are good, honest, sincere, dependable, and really trying, don't you want to help them and go out of your way to help them, even if they can't pay you back? But you see that they're on the road to growth, they're on the road to doing what's right, and so you see a sincerity there, you want to get behind it. Well, in the same sense, God is the same way. God's not just going to give things to people who disregard him and who waste it or don't appreciate him or don't expect nothing. Don't believe in him. Don't trust him. Doubt him. Remember what James says? He says, hey, ask of God who gives liberally and without reproach. But hey, make sure you ask in faith, because if you don't ask in faith, if you don't believe and you're doubting, don't expect to get anything from the Lord. But the Lord, he does give wisdom. Wisdom comes from the Lord. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. Not for the wicked, not for the crooked, but for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the path or the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Think about, let's just sit here for a few minutes and analyze what we just read. First, wisdom comes from the Lord. And he wants to give wisdom. But he wants to give wisdom to certain type of people. And you see the kinds of people that he describes. He's talking about spiritual, holy people. People who are, he says, upright, that's straight, that their vertical relationship with God is intact. They're really seeking God. They're really open to God. They really have an understanding of who God is. They fear God. They have a reverence for God. God, I trust you. God, I believe in you. God, I'm seeking you. God, you are my main reason for my existence. God, I love you with all my heart. God, I live for you. I don't have a double life. I don't have interest in other things. I don't have a foot in the world and a foot in the kingdom. No, it's all you, Jesus. God, I'm living for you. That's being upright. And then he uses another word, uprightly. The word also could be understood a person of integrity. And so he stores up sound wisdom. It's like he stores it up. Like there's an inexhaustible amount that God stores up for each individual. And we're all so unique and we all have different issues that we go through, different personalities. So how principles are the same. Don't get me wrong. But what we draw and what we need may differ depending on what we're going through. But regardless of what your need is, there is a vast reservoir of supply for each one of us. He stores it up. It's almost like, there's so much, I'm storing it up. Why don't you use some more? Seek me some more. Come on. I want to give you more. Another word of that describes the character and the quality of persons, he says, the way of his saints. In the original language, two words that describe this word saint is holy ones, holy ones. Now, I understand. You may be thinking, yeah, but what is this works? For salvation? No, we're not talking about salvation. I'm not talking about salvation. We know that salvation is simply and only through faith in Jesus Christ plus nothing. You have to have faith in Christ and what he did on the cross. But that's not it. Paul, he wrote to the Philippians, he says, it is God who works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. He also says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, because God works in. So God works in, but we are to work it out. We're to, with diligence, practice the things that we're receiving as we're seeking him. Now, other words that I want to look at here is shield, guards, preserves. He shields, he guards, he preserves, he protects. The Lord provides for and protects the diligent, and that is his saints. And he says, then, considering verses 1 through 5, he says, then you will understand righteousness. Next to the word righteousness, you can insert what's right. And justice, in the King James Version, it says judgment. Or those things that would bring judgment. So, next to that word, justice, you can put what's not right. When you pursue wisdom, when you seek wisdom, when you are diligent, God will give you understanding of those things that are right, discernment, those things that aren't right, and then equity is dealing with people, how to be fair, how to treat others right, and every good path. God gives you a sense of right and wrong as a way of directing you onto good paths when we are fulfilling verses 1 through 5. And then in verse 10 he says, when wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul. When it comes to that point in our lives where wisdom actually starts to govern our hearts or enters into our hearts or souls or minds, why wouldn't it? Why would there be any kind of resistance? Because by nature, we like to take the easy road, don't we? The path of least resistance. You know, it's so much easier to say, I'm so tired. This child has been acting up so bad. I'm just so tired. And I don't want to discipline the child because then it's going to be all emotional. I don't want it to be emotional. I'm going to feel bad after. So, although you don't deserve it, you want to go to McDonald's and I'll buy you and I'll treat you for your poor behavior just to shut you up, because that's easier. And then when that kid's 15, 16. Sometimes we could be, as a parent, I could be lazy. It's just easier to take the path of least resistance. There's so many examples. I'm sure you could think of your own examples. And so when wisdom comes, usually wisdom instruction, it comes with work, doesn't it? It comes with correction. It comes with, you know, the reason why that's not working out for you is because you're stupid, David. You're going by your feelings, David. And you're stubborn, David. So, David, you need to change, man. So, there comes correction. It's like, well, I don't like that. I don't want to be corrected. God, you mean I need to change? Yeah. If you want to grow out of that, you need to change. I don't like it. All right, I'll do it. I'll do it. Oh, that was hard. Going and getting things right, starting to get things in order, that's work. Being diligent, disciplined, being consistent, that's work. This was a rough year, man. A lot of changes. Do you know what? It's been a good year. It's been a lot of growth. Now I'm starting to receive and experience the fruit of taking godly principles and putting them into practice. And now wow, 5 years later, my life's really changed. How many of you, I'm telling your story. Maybe it's 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, and you're like, wow, applying God's words really changed. You know what? I love wisdom. I love what God says because in the end, I always get blessed by it. Isn't that true? When you do things God's way, it's when we don't do things God's way that we experience all the troubles. At least that's how it's been in my life. And so there comes a time when knowledge and change and correction and all those things, you're like, yeah, this is awesome. It becomes pleasant to your soul. Because you now aren't looking at the changes and looking at the work, you're looking at what the outcome is going to be. And you say, that's well worth it. So I got to adjust my lifestyle here. So I got to make some changes here. So I got to do this. I got to start doing this. I got to stop doing that. But I see what the end result's going to be, and it's going to be good. And the greatest joy is I'm pleasing you. Oh, man, God. And then you have the peace of God consistently. You have the love of God flowing through your heart. You're walking with God. You're experiencing God. And you're like, I'm hooked. I'm addicted to Jesus. This is the greatest life. I was so stupid not to change sooner. Why didn't I start doing this sooner? And so he says, when wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you, will protect you. Now, I came up with some ideas that I want to present to you that I feel describe discretion well. You might want to write this down. Discretion, the ability to evaluate any situation morally, any moral situation, then formulate the right course of action, and this is a word and you can look it up, and determinate that the right course of action is one's only option. I'll read it again. The ability to evaluate any situation of morality, formulate the right course of action, and I'd like to add consistently, and determinate that the right course of action is one's only option. And this is apart from feelings. That is, you evaluate the situation. You look at it, well, how does this, how would this affect my relationship with God? How would this affect other people? What's the right thing to do in this situation? God, give me wisdom. Let me see in the scriptures if there's any examples or any kind of situations that are like this. Holy Spirit, reveal to me through your word. I want to know what's the right way to handle this. And then God starts to work in your heart and you start to get some direction. And then it's like, whoa, that's hard. I don't want to do that. I don't want to go and say I was wrong. I don't want to go and say I'm sorry. I really don't feel like doing that. Or I don't feel like making these changes. But then you say, you know what? Forget how I feel. It's not a walk of feelings. It's a walk of obedience. It's a walk of faith. It's a walk of obedience. Forget about how I feel. This is the right thing to do in this situation. So this is my only option. God, I'm going to do what you say. I'm going to do what's right. And then you just execute. People who live that way, not by feeling, but by principle, and principle being what's right, have the greatest outcome in their lives. Great protection, great deliverance. Think about how many things you got yourself into because you didn't exercise wisdom in years past. Now think about your life. Sometimes your life is so at peace and everything's going so well that you get the crazy idea you want to do something stupid to get yourself in some trouble. Maybe you're not as crazy as I am, but that those thoughts come. It's like, man, I've been doing, you know, I need some excitement in my life. It's like, wait, whoa, whoa, relax, kid. Get back in the Word. That's all you need. All you need is to follow Jesus. Now, discretion gave you that. Homegrown definition, if you would. Now, understanding, I'd like to present it to you this way. The ability to understand, and you might see this somewhat similar, but the ability to understand and the insight to foresee how actions stimulate or cause outcomes. And based on those general or thinkable outcomes, you act uprightly. You know, I've learned, and I'm still learning, the value of thinking things through. Sometimes we don't think things through. We don't take the time to think things through. We get charged, and then we charge. We get emotionally charged, and then we... But I'm learning the importance of taking a situation and sometimes just saying, you know what? I'm charged right now. This is what I want to do. Perhaps now is not the right time to do anything. Let me just take a step back. Let me think things through. Let me think, if I were to do this, what are the reasonable outcomes, the thinkable outcomes, the general outcomes? Well, if I do this, that'll happen. That can trigger this. This can stimulate that. This can cause that. And you know what? All of those things, by me doing this, that's going to cause a mess. So what about these scenarios? Let me think this through. You know, out of all these things, something needs to be done. But out of all these things, this is the best action to take. So I'm going to do this. This is what is right. So that's how I'm going to act. I'm going to do what the right thing is. To have that kind of discretion, that kind of understanding, thinking things through is so necessary, especially for us as Christians. Because we, once we say, hey, I'm a Christian, I'm a follower of Christ, now we represent a wonderful, wonderful person. We're a banner. And our banner says, imitate me because I imitate Christ. That's what our banner says. And some people are going to say, well, if that's what Christ looks like by looking at my banner, I don't want to follow him. Others will say, wow, I want what you want. And even the scriptures say things like, you know, even though they might mock you, even though they might say stuff, really, they don't have anything to say about you, really. It'll stick. Because there are those out there that you will live right and do what's right, and they just don't like Jesus, so they don't like you. Now, diligence leads to deliverance. We understand that discretion will preserve us. Understanding will keep us. So there's two traps. There's two traps that wisdom keeps us from, godly wisdom. Number one, the trap of evil men. And number two, the trap of the immoral woman. The trap of the evil man and the trap of the immoral woman. Look at verse 12. To deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness, to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their paths. So here he's saying, look, there's some dangers out there. Some people out there are bad company. And they all don't look that horrific. And sometimes we think evil, we think of people, you have a certain look, but some people are very, very well kept, very well to do, very successful, But they're crooked. They're corrupt. Some of them are very kind and very manipulative. But you don't know that up front. They're looking at you as a means to allure you, to get you to do what they want, to manipulate you. And when a person has godly wisdom, you see right through that. You know how many people have gotten burned? Think about the stories sometimes where you see where people who retired and are widows, they get burned by these really nice guys. They come in, tell them great things and then take their money. Embezzle their money, get them to give their money. There's some evil people out there, as we know. And so here he describes the evil man. His words, his walk, his ways. His words, perverse. Willful, it means willful and unruly. Willful and unruly. His walk, they've made a conscientious decision to leave what's right to follow what's not right. It's not that they didn't know. They chose to leave the path of righteousness to follow in the paths of darkness. It's a willful decision. The rebels. His ways, they enjoy doing what's wrong and are crooked and tricky. Now, in order for traps to be effective, they have to be what? Attractive. They have to be alluring. And how would anybody be attracted to this kind of stuff? Well, a younger person, or even younger believers, or people. You might look at people who are willful or powerful, and like he says, they're perverse, they're unruly. The things that they say, it looks like these people are confident. These people, they stand on their own 2 feet. These people, they don't need anybody. They go out there, they're self-made. And you know, they don't care what people think. And some of us are attracted to that. You could be attracted to that. Some people are more insecure, and you see a strong, confident individual, they're going out there, they're successful, they're making things happen, they're shakers and they're movers, and they're not getting, no lightning bolts are coming from heaven and striking them dead right there on the spot. They're making money, they're hustling. That lifestyle could seem attractive. It's got to be attractive in order for it to be a temptation. So for some people, they might look at that. Now, you and I, we're over that. We're over that, but we're studying the Word. So we're talking about it. We're over that. We look right through it. We can see when people are, and those guys are wicked. They're corrupt. They're so willful. They're so confident. They don't even esteem God. And boy, there's going to be a scary day. And that's where we're headed to at the last verse. He talks about they're going to be uprooted out of the earth. Now there's the second trap, the immoral woman, to deliver you from the immoral woman, verse 16, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God, for her house leads down to death and her paths to the dead. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. There's wicked men. And their lifestyle can be attractive. And then there's women. There's immoral women. And that could be attractive too. Especially for guys. And it could be vice versa. You can interchange it. But look what he says here about the description, the immoral woman's description. Her words, she uses flattery to seduce her victim. You know, and I can't help but think, and men, and because it's talking about men, think about a guy who's working at the workplace, married for 20 years. Think about it, because it says here that she left the companion of her youth. So this is not like their kids. This is more like divorced. She divorced her husband, and she broke her covenant that she made with God to her husband, for better or for worse, richer, poor, sickness and in health, till death do we part. Well, she broke that. She disregards God, and she left her husband that she knew from when she was a kid. And so she's a seductress woman, an immoral woman. And so what she does is she uses her words. And she tells that guy, says, how are things? Well, maybe it doesn't start out that way. It doesn't start out that strong. How are things at home? I just can't picture it that way. It's probably more like, hey, can you help me? Sure, not a problem. And then that look, oh, you're pretty strong. I so appreciate you. You know, and a guy would like that. A guy, ooh, that makes me feel good. The flattering words. And she uses seduction. She tries to lead the person astray. That's why it's good, women, give your husbands attention, the attention they need. Don't take it for granted. Don't take them for granted. Now, you women, you probably think, well, what about the husbands? Well, it works both ways. Don't take each other for granted. Be there for each other. You get so wrapped up in your lives, you're talking 20 years down the road, you got married and now you're in your 40s or your 50s, and you take each other for granted. It takes strong people to say, you know what? I'm a person of principle and I'm committed no matter what. Other people that aren't that principled and that strong, start looking elsewhere. If that wasn't the case, look at society. Look at even in the church. So it's important to be there for each other. Don't take each other for granted in every way, intimately, in every way. Because there are women out there that would love to take your spouse. There are men out there that would love to take your spouse and just ruin your family. But anyway, I'm talking to the choir here. But you never know. It's always good to say these things. Her words, her walk, she abandoned her husband and her vows to God. She's unfaithful. She's an unfaithful person. She's not faithful to God, to man. Her ways lead to an irretrievable path, rather, death and hell. It's pretty extreme what he says. It's not the only place. Proverbs chapter 5, verses 3 to 5 says, for the lips of an immoral woman drip honey. Talk about seductress. It's like you look at those lips, and they're so plumpy and red. It's just, they look so delicious and sweet. Some of you guys are getting excited. I better stop. I'm going to have to edit that. Hit stop. No, just kidding. For the lips of an immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth... I mean, this is pretty intense stuff here. It's the content. It's not me, the content. Her mouth is smoother than oil. Her words are smoother than oil. They just slide into the heart. And the guy's heart is like, ooh, that feels really good. I haven't been talked to like that in a long time. I'm usually talked down to, made to feel stupid, criticized. But man, you really make me feel good about myself. I like being around you. Can I have your number? You know, people, hey, it happens. Looking up on the internet, start talking on Facebook. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lay hold of hell. Now, the person who has godly wisdom and pursues God sees through all that stuff. I already could see where that's going. I'm not even going to entertain that. I'm happy at home. I'll draw water from my own cisterns. Thank you. I'm not available. Thank you. I can care less about what you think or what... Don't ever ask me to help you again, because I don't want to give you the wrong impression. And it's good for people, married people, to make sure that they let other people, whether they're married or single, know, I am not available. We could be friends and everything. We're family. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. But there's limits. And don't mistake my kindness as there's anything more. Get that thought out of your mind. I am not available. Fool. Why, I oughta? See, wisdom will help you see these types of people for who they are and what they really are, where they're headed, so you avoid becoming ruined by joining their company. And then here's the big idea of the whole chapter, verse 20. So you may walk in the way of goodness. That's why we pursue God, we pursue righteousness, we pursue wisdom. And keep to the paths of righteousness. Stay on the path of righteousness. Don't get off track. Don't let those temptations and those traps start getting into your mind. Just keep seeking God. Why? Here's the eternal perspective. For the upright will dwell in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. That is that there's going to come a time where there's going to be the thousand-year millennial, then there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And in the new heaven and the new earth, only the blameless, the righteous, are going to stay. But there is another place for people, the lake of fire, there's hell. It's not to scare anybody, it's just the reality of it. You know, when I go to the doctors, when I had to have my hip replaced several years ago, I didn't want the doctor to tell me, Mr. Crespo, your hips look great. I don't know what you're talking about concerning the pain. Go out there and keep running. I didn't like what he had to tell me, but I'm sure appreciative that he told me the truth. He walked in the room, and I won't forget, he says, I wish I had good news to tell you, but unfortunately, I don't. And my heart was, what are you talking about? I never had surgery or anything like that. But I'm so glad for the truth, because it sets us free. And in reference to the scriptures, the truth that God gives, there is hell. There is a place of torment. And there's nothing to me. It's just like saying there's a jail. And don't do stupid things to get yourself in trouble, because you're going to end up in jail. It's a reality. I'm not afraid to talk about hell. But the wicked will be cut off from the earth. There's punishment for the wicked. They're going to get cut off. And the unfaithful will be uprooted from it. And so we'll just close with this, and then I'll let you go. Wisdom can be found if a person searches for it enough. And once found, it will save a person from disaster and lead to temporal and eternal satisfaction with Jesus. Father, we thank you so much for your faithfulness, your mercy, your kindness. We thank you for your word. It's such a great joy, Lord, to study your word and to be impressed by your word, by your spirit, and to be here blessed with your people. I pray, God, that you continue to lead us and guide us and help us, Lord, to be diligent. Help us to continue to grow and abound and to seek and pursue your face more and more, not less and less as we get older, more and more. And use us for your glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.